Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Christmas, yes. The snow coming down, not even remotely. I practically wore shorts down here today. And then someone said, Dean, put your pants on. I always appreciate helpful advice like that. Hi, everyone. It's Dean Richards filling in for Rokan today on 720 WGN. Kim Gordon, hello there, my friend.
How are you, Dean? Nice to work with you. It's been a long time.
It's been a very long time. Nice to see you, and happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you so much.
And to Mark.
Dean, Mary.
Mark is in for sports today.
I am, Dean. Good to see you, my friend.
Nice to see you. Congratulations on you're still married.
3 weeks, Dean.
Still hanging in there?
In a couple days. We're rolling.
Look at you hanging in there for 3 weeks. Is it complete bliss?
Oh, my God. Every moment, every day.
Is there anything, one thing that has surprised you that you did not anticipate about being married?
Oh, Dean, so many. So what a dark road I could go down right there. But no, it's not surprised at all. I'm surprised, Dean, that it's been even better than I imagined. How's that?
Is that right? Or are you lying to me?
I think I might be lying.
Okay.
It's all right.
All correct answers, by the way. Proper answers to you. Nice to see you. And our old pal Jordan Burnfield is here with us doing traffic today.
Hey, Dean. It's great to be with you
today. Used to be with us on the old Sunday morning show.
Yes. Those were great times.
How long ago was that, Jordan?
I want to say 6 years ago, probably. Right. 5-6 years ago.
Weren't you thrown into a Turkish prison for a while?
I was, yes. I was just recently released.
Yeah. It was a political exchange of... We got some prisoners back. We gave them some prisoners. We got you back.
I don't know. I feel like this would have been a bad deal for us. If they're just giving me back. Hopefully they made a better deal than that.
Always one of my favorite people on the radio, Jordan. So it's nice to have you.
Appreciate
all
that. Good
here
to be
with
here.
Us today. We've got behind the scenes, our producer Ryan, young Ryan, is here with me today because only he knows how to handle me. Do I scare the other producers, Ryan?
I don't think so. You don't scare me.
Well, I know I don't scare you because you're used to me now.
Yeah, we've gotten used to each other.
Yeah, but
this is...
I think the other producers are like, I don't want to work with Dean.
You think so?
That's the sense I get.
I don't know about that. That's not what they told me.
It's the sense that I get.
We've got a lot of each other for the next couple days here.
Yeah, Ryan produces my Sunday show, and then now he's here with me today. For a big show that we've got for you today. We've got a lot of really great guests today. And for our annual big Christmas Eve show that we've got tomorrow. So lots of good stuff, both here on 720 WGN Radio. And, of course, we welcome all of our viewers on CLTV who are also watching. Later in the show, we're going to be talking with a man I believe will be nominated, maybe win, Best Director at the Academy Awards, Sam Mendes. Was in Chicago recently. We sat down and talked with him about what I think is a quite amazing movie, 1917, that opens on Christmas Day. I'll tell you more about that later on. We'll share our conversation with Sam Mendes coming up later. If you love the band Chicago, who doesn't love the band Chicago? Giving you a space to answer.
No one.
Wherever you
we
are.
We love right them.
Now. Yeah. No, I was for the listeners. Please don't feel like you have to, respond. But I think people in their car going, "Yeah, I love 25 or 6 to 4. I love, name one of their many songs." Lee Loughnane, one of the originals from the group, joining us on the show today. The group Chicago getting a huge honor from the Academy of the Recording Artists Academy, the people who give out the Grammy Awards. So that's coming up later on, and I am delighted to start the show today with a couple of colleagues in the movie critic analysis community. This week is the biggest movie week of the year, and I thought it would be fun to have like a little panel of critics here today to talk about some of the movies that have just opened, a little thing called Star Wars just opened the other day. four, I think, pretty great movies are opening on Christmas Day. There's a lot that's out right now, plenty to talk about. Maybe you at home have questions about movies that are coming out that you've heard about, and maybe you would like to ask a question about it. This is a good time, or maybe you've seen some of them and want to throw your two cents in about some of these. 312-981-7200 is our phone number to call in. We'd love to hear your voice. We love when you text in as well, 312-981-7200. Pamela Powell has been with us before on our Sunday morning show. She is a critic with WCIA-TV and also the Daily Journal and FF2 Media, and one of the most delightful people in the screening room, I will say.
Well, thank you.
It's always nice to see you. Pamela Powell, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And also Chuck Koplinski. Is a film critic, also with WCIA-TV and the Illinois Times and the News Gazette. And Chuck is also a very delightful person as well. Nice to have you both here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Together, they do something called Real Talk with Chuck and Pam. Real, R-E-E-L, Talk with Chuck and Pam. And they talk about the movies. And it's great to have you both here with us today.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Are you exhausted, as I am, with all the new movies? I mean, it's been like 2 and 3 movie days for the last couple of weeks.
It has. I think for the last month, we've just been inundated by new releases and things that we need to be caught up on in time to vote for our respective organizations.
For different organizations and, you know, to review for our viewers, for our listeners, for our jobs, our regular jobs that we do.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but fun. I mean, movies are fun. Yeah. Whether you like them or not, it's a lot of fun to weigh in and talk about them, discuss them with differing opinions, which mine is usually different from his.
Yeah. you both probably also get this. You know, when you've had a hard day, you've had, you know, I had a day a couple of days ago. I had watched 3 movies in a day, and I was like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I watched 3 movies. And, you know, then I'm thinking, well, some people actually have real jobs for a living, have, like, really work for a living. And I'm complaining because I sat on my couch and I watched 3 movies. Like, oh, poor me. I had to watch movies.
We had the same discussion saying, well, we're not out digging trenches. Yeah, so exactly. I think this is kind of cushy.
Yeah, not terrible. Chuck, which ones have you had favorites? Before we talk about the ones that are about to open, mm-hmm. are there ones that just have completely blown your mind so far this year?
You know, I've been waiting for that. I was waiting and waiting for that, and I finally got it with one of the movies we're going to talk about later with Adam Sandler, The Uncut Gems. Mm. That one knocked me on my heels, and like I say, I know we're going to talk about that, but I think that the studios this year, more than any other year, they always do this, but it seemed this year they really held back on a lot of their quality product, and I was waiting a long time, and it wasn't until about mid-November where I was like, oh, these are the types of things I'm looking for. Like I say, Uncut Gems really stood out for me. And as you pointed out, 1917 was something that really, I thought, lived up to the hype.
Right. Do you have just a title or two? And we'll dig in a little deeper in a couple of minutes. But anything that just really blew your mind so far, Pam?
Two that really had a lot of power and meaning to me were A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks, as well as Dark Waters, Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah.
That really hit home. Both those films did.
Right. I agree with all of those. The other one that really blew my mind, the musical Cats.
In a good way?
But no. No, not at all. Not at all in a good way. All right. Still to come for you, we have the director of what I think will be one of the big movies for 2020, the movie called 1917, director Sam Mendes talking with us a little bit later on. Real Talk hosts Chuck and Pam are with us in studio, and you at 312-981-7200 talking the movies for the holiday weekend. This is one of the busiest movie weekends of the year, the next couple of weeks, the busiest going to movies weeks of the year. There's so much that's out there. Right now, did we all like Star Wars? I liked Star Wars. I didn't love Star Wars. I wasn't completely blown away by Star Wars. I gave it a Dean's List B. And it's been getting kind of mixed reviews. Overall, how did you two fall on Star Wars?
I was disappointed in it. The first trilogy blew me away. And I wanted to be blown away by the final
supposedly final episode, and I wasn't. They didn't have that charm and that heart and the charisma and the humor that the first three did. And it just, it was a disappointment to me. Yeah. Cinematography and special effects, amazing.
Beautiful, yeah.
But as far as story, depth, connection, just wasn't there for me.
Okay, how about for you, Chuck?
You know, the guy, J.J. Abrams was in a no-win situation taking on this film. There was no way he was going to please everyone, or especially the hardcore fans. So I just sat back and had fun with it. You know, I thought that was the original intent of Lucas's films, was to just sit back and have a good time. And for the most part, I thought that it achieved that. There were a couple of surprises I thought made sense. Yes, I gasped.
Yes,
one of
did.
Them. You won't let me live that down. But I thought it was just fine. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where I felt with it, too, that I was, as a fan, a lifelong fan, satisfied with the whole thing. I didn't walk out of the theater hating what I had just seen. And, you know, how much can I nitpick, really? I mean, I'm sure I could pick it apart if I wanted to, but I sort of wanted to just enjoy it. And other movies out there to enjoy right now. Jumanji, it's not going to win any Academy Awards, but it is what it is.
Right.
It's like an hour and a half or whatever it is. It's fun.
It is.
I actually had a good time with its complete silliness.
It is, and that's perfect escapism for this time of year. People are stressed. It's the holiday time. What better film to see than Escape into Jumanji? Great, great fun. I really enjoyed that. Like you said, not an Oscar winner, but hey, it's fun.
Yeah, one of the other ones that I really like that's out right now is the murder mystery Knives Out. People are asking me, what can I go see right now? It's like, if you haven't seen Knives Out, it's really fun. It's fun. It's interesting. It's got all the elements that you want, I think.
I sat through that for the third time this week.
Really?
And still, it still works, and I'm picking up little things along the way I didn't pick up the first two times.
Ah.
You know, and I'm glad that some of these year-end polls or awards places are recognizing Rian Johnson for his script, because it is so intricate, but the tone of it. You know, it's making fun of the genre, but it's a great example at the same time. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, that's that wound up in the top five this week, as did Frozen 2, which is hanging in there. And debuting with only... Now, Star Wars made $175 million for its opening weekend. Cats, the musical, made $6 million for the weekend. I can't think of a movie that has been trashed by critics more than this film. It's just a complete mess.
I can't wait to see it. I missed it.
Supposed to go.
I know. I saw you at the screening before,
right.
And we had fully intended on going, and we had some deadlines we had to meet. There was no way we were going to be able
pass.
To do it. And we took a pass.
You said,
you know, we didn't go on that plane that went down. So.
you're like the people that got to the airport 10 minutes late.
Right.
I was supposed to be on that plane.
But now I have to see
now
it before
curious.
They re-edit it. Yeah.
Now you're curious.
Yeah.
The storyline has always been very challenging for Cats. I don't know how many stage productions I've seen, each time saying, this time is the time I'm going to get it and I'm going to like it. I just haven't understood it all these years. That has never happened yet. I understand the basic storyline that one cat is reborn. It's a story about rebirth, really, but in the most complex and the most difficult way to explain. The songs are pleasant enough, I guess. The storytelling is very troublesome. The editing is a mess. The cinematography is a mess. You know the movies where there's nothing but fast cuts
because
they don't really want you to concentrate on anything for very long? That's what this movie is.
Wow.
They don't want you to see how bad it is. And I was so embarrassed for this really good cast of performers. Poor Idris Elba. I can't look at him the same way again.
Or how about Judi Dench?
Judi Dench is Deuteronomy in the production. She was actually maybe one of the least offensive because she's not, you know, jumping around and hopping around. But poor Taylor Swift. Poor James Corden. Poor Rebel Wilson, poor Jennifer Hudson. I was embarrassed for all of them.
Wow.
So there's not a sense that they knew they were in a turkey, and so that perhaps this could become a camp classic at all? Is there that?
I'm guessing as of about last Friday at noon, they got some kind of realization.
So did Alban knock himself out of James Bond contention for good now because of this?
I could never imagine.
Oh, no.
Ever anybody James Bond who was once in a skin-tight kitty cat suit.
Oh, that's too bad.
I can't imagine that ever happening.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it's just really a terrible movie. So, I've gotten some emails from people saying, I went to see the movie and I liked it. And I'm glad if you go and you like it, I'm glad when somebody likes something more than I do. But they went to the director, Tom Hopper, did something that I don't think I've ever heard happen, where a director actually recalls his movie so he can re-edit it, so he can fix it. And that's what they're doing right now. And then digitally, they will put them into theaters as quickly as they can. So some theaters may have the new version right now. Some theaters may have the old version right now. My gut tells me they could edit this until St. Patrick's Day, and it's not going to make a whole lot of difference.
Well, this is its second life, so I guess what do we have? Right. Nine lives?
Seven left.
Seven to go. Seven to go.
Unless it earns one extra one, right? And then
Maybe it's the one that earns the additional life. So let's talk a little bit about the movies that are coming out. Christmas Day is, you know, one of the biggest movie days of the year. And you mentioned, Chuck, Uncut Gems, the Adam Sandler movie. I've seen him on every talk show, and I've seen every host of those talk shows say, this is an Adam Sandler like you've never seen before. This is so unlike Adam Sandler. And if you only know Adam Sandler from the Happy Gilmore kind of movies, this is a completely different Adam Sandler you're seeing in this film.
Yeah, I guess the only similarity you can make is that they're both children. I mean, the man at the center of Uncut Gems, Ratner is his name, he really has never grown up. And he's making mistakes left and right. He's always trying to fix things. It's a desperation ploy that he's going through in this. And Sandler just takes this and runs with it. I mean, he's a deplorable guy, but you cannot take your eyes off of him throughout the entire movie. There's an energy there that he has, and it's matched by the Safdie brothers' approach to this. I know some people are going to have a problem with the jittery camera, the quick cutting, the loud soundtrack. And
it's manic. The tone of the movie is very frantic and manic.
Yeah.
As is the Adam Sandler character, who is this out-of-control gambler, big talker, constantly gambling away what he does not have. He's got bookies and their goons constantly looking for him, trying to stay one step ahead of everybody. But it's compelling. It's a fantastic performance by Sandler in this movie. Pam, you liked it as well?
No. I think Adam Sandler was incredible. And again, we had talked, Chuck and I had talked about this, the fact that he is a man child and hasn't grown up, but he is such a despicable character. He never learns from any of his mistakes. He's incredible in this, but that camera, the music overload, everything is so frenetic, nonstop, that I was on edge, which I guess is what the filmmakers want you to be, edge.
Yeah, I like that. I like that it put me on edge that.
It did. It was a sensory overload to me, and I really struggled with getting through it. But there was something about it. I had to find out what happened in the end and what a satisfying end it was. But like Chuck said, you got to have a lot of openness when you're going in to see this movie. This movie is not for everybody. Right. I imagine people will be offended by the language, which I have been known to drop a few of those F-bombs too, but this was in it. I know. We were inundated.
It's because you hang out with too many movie critics.
I guess, yeah.
It's understandable.
But it's overload. Everything is just sensory overload. So for that reason, I struggled with it.
Yeah, it's rated R. I'll talk more about it tomorrow morning on the TV Morning News. 3:49, Dean Richards and Perreault, WGN. Tomorrow, Christmas Eve, I will also be here filling in for Roe. And then tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, it's the annual airing of our Bozo, Gar, and Ray WGN TV Classic Special on the Big Number 9. You can watch for that. 2 hours of great Chicago memories, followed by Midnight Mass on my favorite TV station, WGN TV. Joining us in studio today and here on CLTV, the host of Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, Chuck Koplinski and Pamela Powell, who write and talk about movies all the time. We're talking about all of the holiday movies that are opening on Christmas Day. We've covered Adam Sandler's new movie. We've covered this amazing 1917. Who liked The Little Women? I did.
I have been waiting to hear Pam's objections for I don't know how long.
Pam, I thought for sure this was going to be your kind of movie.
I wanted to be.
You're a woman. Just I know your sensibilities. I think I know like things that you like and appreciate and admire.
Right.
And I thought, oh, Pam's going to love this movie.
Yeah, I wanted to. I feel like I'm the movie Scrooge right now. And it's Greta Gerwig, and I am a female, and I want to support female filmmakers. And this is all about women, obviously, the name, Little Women. And it just felt a little too Hallmarky for me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just felt the it's been done how many times? Five times before? Four times before?
Right.
And I didn't find anything new with the subject matter, and I felt actually some of the messages were so antiquated that I wasn't behind it 100%. And the acting to me just felt so over the top, and I am so sorry that I am not loving this movie. I have such guilt being the movie Scrooge here. I really do. I wanted to love this, and
wow.
I didn't. I did, however. I always like to have a positive note with everything that I don't love, and I loved Tracy Letts and Saoirse Ronan together.
Yeah.
I could have watched them have an interaction for the entire 2 hours
right.
of the movie. They
Chicago's own Tracy Letts from Steppenwolf.
Right. He's incredible.
A publisher. And Saoirse Ronan's character, a writer, trying to get her works published. But this is what you said that these are, you didn't really think that there's anything new. I don't know if I've seen all the Little Women. I've seen a couple of them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like there was a greater sense of female empowerment with some of the characters in this movie than other versions that I've seen in the past.
Good.
Almost like there was a very strong purpose. Like Greta Gerwig, the director, wanted to make sure that she stayed close to the original story, but make a couple of points that there's one line in the movie in particular that women are more for than just love and affection.
Right.
I'm a writer. I want to be a writer. I want to do something more.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still hate him.
I'm so sorry.
Scrooge. Bah, humbug. Wow.
I know.
It was a gorgeous movie.
It was beautiful.
Visually,
it was very beautiful.
Visually, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the color schemes and bringing... I'm really looking into as much as I
this
can hear sound, people.
This is sounding like my review of Cats. They pointed the camera in the right direction. What did you like about it, Chuck?
I like that, and I also like that Gerwig messes with the chronology of it as well.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
We see Joe looking back and her perception of what her and her sisters were like as children is seen through her adult eyes.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, yeah, it's been done so many times. How are you going to approach this in a different way? And she figured that out, and I thought it added a bit more new life to the story.
Yeah, I thought that I was missing something at first.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, why? Wait a minute. We just saw that, and why is she an adult now? And a second ago, she was a child. It's like, oh, she's doing two different time frames. It's bouncing back and forth.
It took me about a half hour.
I wound up really liking that.
Yeah.
And I think it kept my interest a little more for a story that has been around like 150 years, something
1868.
Like that. Right?
Yeah, Louisa May Alcott. And the time bouncing, I'm glad it took you 30 minutes to catch on to that because I was struggling with that aspect. When are we? Where are we? Oh, Greta Gerwig's, Saoirse Ronan's hair is short, so now I know when I am. So I struggled with that as well. I guess I was just on the struggle bus. I'm going to be quiet now.
For everyone. Wow. Lump of coal.
I'm sorry. Santa's not going to visit.
Anything else that you think is just really must see right now?
Must see right now. Bombshell. I really enjoyed Bombshell. I think it's got a great message to it, great information. And
it's the Charlize Theron, Megyn Kelly story, basically.
Right.
Gretchen Carlson. It's the story about sexual abuse at Fox News.
Right. Yeah. And I think it really lets you in to see what happens behind closed doors and why people reacted the way that they did. Makeup in that is incredible. These two characters, John Lithgow plays Roger Ailes and Charlize plays Megan, and they truly become their characters. I would highly recommend going to see that one as well.
Yeah, everybody's talking about this movie Parasite. Have mm-hmm. you seen Parasite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you think? It's a Korean language film.
Right. I think it's a bit overrated. I liked it, but I'm not over the moon with it as far as everyone else is concerned. It certainly is timely. I love the story and the whole setup of it as far as the class warfare that they have going on. But by the end, it really takes a turn, needless to say. And I had a hard time with how this whole thing wraps up. But I know it's gaining a lot of momentum as far as Oscar talk and things like that are concerned.
It is. How about for you, Pam?
I liked it more after I had a chance to think about what I had seen. It does take that turn, which was a little disturbing to me. And again, I'm shocked that we agree on this mm-hmm. aspect of it. But the end was a little bit too much for me. I did like all the different social messages that this film tackles, and in a very bold and entertaining way. I think I might have liked it a little bit more than you did, Chuck.
I think you did.
Yeah.
If Louisa May Alcott was Korean, would you still like it?
Well, actually, we were talking about maybe Little Women can go to Jumanji next.
Yeah.
So now we have a new theme.
Switch up
Jumanji.
The avatars.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Sing some songs from Cats.
And, there we go.
And now we've really got something. If people want to check out Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, what's the best way to do that?
Check us out on, we have a website, realtalkwithchuckandpam.com. You can also take a look at us on Facebook on Real Talk with Chuck and Pam.
And Chuck Kopunsky, where else can we read you? And
The Illinois Times out of Springfield and the News Gazette out of Champaign, Urbana.
And Pamela Powell, where can we read you?
FF2 Media, as well as The Daily Journal.
I love sharing thoughts and sharing opinions.
It's always fun.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you both.
Bah humbug. No, I'm kidding. Merry Christmas.
I am shocked that you did
I
not like
it. I wanted to.
I would have bet money that you would have loved that movie.
I'm sorry.
Just never know. I love the diversity of opinions. That's what I love. One of the greatest rock and roll songs of all time, right? The group Chicago, 25 or 6 to 4. Being honored by the people who give out the Grammys, the National Recording Academy. We're going to talk with one of the band's originals, our old pal Lee Loughnane. Coming up in a couple of minutes, it's Dean Richards in for Rokan today on WGN. Be here today, we'll be here tomorrow. I think I've done a show every Christmas Eve here on WGN, maybe for decades. Always wound up that I wound up, whoever, whether it was Spike or whoever it was, would be off on Christmas Eve. I would always be here. So it's kind of a nice tradition. I sort of enjoy it. We've got some special things planned for you. But it's never more exciting than when I can talk with my old pal Lee Loughnane on the telephone. Hello there, my friend.
How you doing? Great to be on the show.
It's great to hear your voice. It's always always great to hear your music. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm calling at the last possible second. I'm sorry the day got away from me. But here I am at long last.
Here you are. You know, the life of a big-time rock and roll star. You got to figure. You got a couple of things going on in your life. I wanted to call.
Yeah, I was watching Ray Donovan. Of all holiday shows to be watching.
Wow!
Right?
See, a lot of people go with Jimmy Stewart, Bing Crosby. You go with Ray Donovan. I love that. There's so many
something
good.
Light.
There's so many good things to watch. I'll bet while you guys are on the road, you must spend a lot of time watching TV. You might be one of the best TV critics that there is.
Ask me a couple of questions. We'll see. Maybe I don't know anything.
So I wanted to call to congratulate you, Lee, on the latest achievement for the band of getting the Grammys, the Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award. This is a hugely big deal for a band that's gotten, every award that you can think of, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, and now to get this recognition from your colleagues in the music industry, I got to think is something kind of special for you guys.
It is amazingly special. And who would have thunk, all this much time later that we'd still be able to do this for a living. And I'm just I'm ecstatic. You know, I can't wait to go to the Grammys. I'm going to bring my son with me and sit there and enjoy.
Yeah, it's a really nice honor. Do you place this kind of award, someplace special in your heart, in your mind, as opposed to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as opposed to Grammy Awards, as opposed to everything else that this remarkable band has achieved through the years?
Well, it's yet another award that I didn't think would actually be coming to us. So to get it is another award that, in the future can't be taken away. It's like getting the king's keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
I got the key.
I got the keys. Do you reflect on your days in Chicago when you guys were, first starting out? What is it, like over 50 years ago, right, that you started?
It's 50-plus years, 1967. Amazing. I have to pinch myself. But the most beautiful thing is, even after we get the award, we still get to work the next day.
Right.
And, a lot of people can't say that. They can't say that they're going to go out and do another 100 shows in 2020. Like we can. So we got Peter Chiavarelli making sure that we're going to keep working.
Greatest manager a band could ever have, good old Peter.
Definitely.
The
fans are the greatest fans that a band could ever have.
That
because
is true.
Without them, nobody, they want to hear the songs that we put on the map. So we're going to go play them for them again.
Yeah, the last time that I saw you guys, you were doing kind of a, one of these double shows where, you do part of the show and then another great band or performer does part of the show. And this happened to be with Earth, Wind & Fire. And
right.
That was one of the most magical combinations together on one stage that I think I've ever seen in my life.
That was a lot of fun. We did it a number of times with them. We did it, I think, three times or maybe even four with Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was a lot of horns. They probably had to have a couple of extra semi-trucks just for all the horns with those two bands.
Oh, boy. Was fun.
Yeah.
We're gonna do Rick Springfield this summer. We're going to do about 40 shows with him.
I heard it. I had wondered if one of those shows is going to be the one. I know you've got one coming to the Allstate Arena this summer. I wonder if that's going to be one of the Rick Springfield shows. I know you're also doing a show, I think, in Joliet, I think at the Rialto Square in the spring. As well. So nice.
In the spring?
The
spring probably won't be with him. The summer probably will.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What do you remember from the very beginning, Lee? Because you're one of the founding members. You and Jimmy Pankow and Robert Lamb. And
Robert,
I mean, you've got some. I mean, many of the originals are all still together. What do you remember best when you were young men starting off and you wanted to be rock and roll singers?
We just wanted to play music. I don't know if we never even were thinking at that time of making a record. We were just playing clubs and having a good time doing it. And then we moved out to California and ended up making that first album. We thought, okay, maybe now we're going to make an album, and if that does well, maybe we'll get a second album. But to be talking to you 53 years later, that didn't enter our minds at all.
Isn't that something? Because
it is totally something. And the three guys that are with the band now were sitting in that room the first day we got together.
Yeah.
Me, Jimmy, and Robert.
Yeah.
And, so there's been a lot of different changes through the years, but there are three guys that remember what happened in the beginning and everything that's happened since.
Right, exactly. How long? Well, I thought for a minute that Walt Parizader was one of the originals as well. I guess he came a little later, right?
No. Walter was an original as well, but he's not able to go on the road with us anymore. He hasn't gone on the road with us since 15, 20 years now.
I gotcha. Okay, all right. So you guys are going strong on tour, and, for the holiday season, you guys just put out a new Christmas album, is that right?
We did, Chicago Christmas 2019, and it's doing well. It came out number one first week. Debuted number one. Who knew?
I like how you're always surprised when you guys are successful.
I am. Really, because it's, you know, it is not that easy. You know, people don't jump over themselves going, okay, when you're going to, you know, they ask us when we're going to make something new, but it's tough to get it played.
Yeah.
And right. So we're very fortunate that this one came out of the box number one.
Hey, Lee, I need to take a break to get a little traffic and weather in here real quick. But what I want to ask you is how the music business is now compared to when you first started, because now there's YouTube and all the online platforms and so many different places to get music heard. Right. I'm just curious from the band's perspective what that's like. Lee Locknane, one of the original members of the group Chicago, just announced going to be receiving the Grammy Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm dreaming of the white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. It's 421. This is Dean Richards in for Roe. And our longtime pal Lee Locknane from the group Chicago is on the line with us. Congratulating him on the band's achievement of the Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Award. They have a brand new holiday album out called Chicago Christmas. Lee, this is a fantastic cut of the old Bing Crosby song, White Christmas.
Right, and that one was actually on one of our previous Christmas albums, the What's It Gonna Be Santa, I think that one was on. It was either that or Oh Christmas 3.
Oh, okay.
The new one has a couple of songs that are out right now as far as our singles. Sleigh Ride 2019, which is a different version that we recorded before.
Yeah.
And also all Around the World.
Okay.
All over the world.
I didn't even realize you had that many Christmas albums out.
We got four of them now.
You guys are like the new Bing Crosby with all these Christmas albums. I Google Chicago Christmas, and this popped up, and I was listening to it. It's like, well, that's a cool sounding track. Let's play
it. Sounds good.
A little bit of that. You guys still sounded great. And we were, just before the break, we were talking about getting your songs played, getting your songs heard now.
Right.
It's so different from when you were first starting, you know, and trying to get your songs on the radio, on AM radio, when you guys were first starting back in the day. But, you know, these days, all you got to do, you know, you put songs up on the web, you put them on, some of the music platforms now. And that's the way that people are retrieving music. What's that like from the performer's perspective?
Well, you would hope that it will sell through and that as many people as you can possibly get to hear it will hear it. And, as we've been talking, the Internet has been changing and growing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always something brand new to learn about it and something to figure out. So, it gets confusing.
Yeah.
But does it sure give, is cool to have that much stuff available.
I was going to say, and does it give the artist a little more flexibility and a little more freedom? You know, because everything before was dictated by the record companies. Now you guys can pretty much record whatever you want, I think, and put it on the web. I don't know if, you know, maybe contractually you still have to funnel it through record companies. I'm not sure how that works.
I think, as far as distribution, I think that's the thing you need the record companies for more than anything else now. But, they have the same capability of putting something up on the Internet as anybody else does.
Yeah, I know a lot of performers say that they love the flexibility, that they can go into a recording studio, lay some tracks down, and put it on the web, and, you know, within an hour, a million people have listened to it already on the web.
It's exactly. That'd be great, yeah. I would love that, a couple million people. And we just played for a bunch of shows, TV shows, that 35 million people had the availability of seeing us. So 1% of them buy the record, we're good to go, right?
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. This is Dan, who is in Wisconsin, calling in for Lee Locknane from the group Chicago, 312-981-7200. Hi, Dan.
Hey, I'm going to tie into the same category there. And
as far as outreach worldwide, the group Leonid and Friends, is Lee, are you yes. familiar with them? It's
I am.
A Russian, yes. You know, the fact that they picked Chicago to cover and almost exclusively cover, a great compliment to your band, but musically and technically, I think they're strong when I hear them. So just your thoughts on that. And before I go, the documentary by CNN, phenomenal. And thank you so much for all your entertainment over the years.
Yeah, the band that Dan is talking about is called Leonid and Friends. They are a Russian rock and roll band, a Russian cover band, and they only do Chicago songs by the group Chicago. I heard their music a year ago, a couple of years ago. I thought it was you guys, Lee. I thought it was you. That's how good they sounded.
Right, they're very good players, but thank God we wrote this stuff.
Cha-ching!
We got something.
Cha-ching!
You were talking about recording before. We don't go into the studio anymore. We have this a road rig that we can either record on the bus in hotel rooms and make it sound. Yeah, it sounds as good as any studio in the world.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing how portable everything is?
Totally amazing. Yes, it's as they invent new gear. Myself and our engineer Tim Jessup, he tests everything out to make sure it's what we need, and then we go get it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So when there's a cover band that's a Chicago cover band, is that flattering to the group? You know, do people like that when there's something like that?
It's definitely flattering. I mean, I think the ultimate honor is to have someone enjoy your music enough to want to play it for other people.
Yeah, it's just amazing, though, and I think it speaks to the universal quality of the music of the group Chicago, that a band from Russia, of all places, to hear your songs, and they go, we want to be like these comrades. And of course, they all sound like Boris Badenov there. So.
They do, right? They go to once you take a peek, and for vacation.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Here's Art calling in for Lee Lockney on WGN.
Hey, good afternoon. Hi, I'm sitting in my hi there. I'm raking leaves in my backyard and listening to the radio, and you brought back a big memory. 1967, McCormick Place burnt down. Where did you play the concert instead of McCormick Place?
Did you say it burnt down in 67?
Yeah, remember McCormick Place burnt down.
Wow. I think we were playing the Auditorium Theater around that time.
You were the amphitheater, and you were the opening act. And it was CTA at that time, if I remember right.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, how
and
about
you know,
that?
Wait till you hear who else was on the bill. Uh-oh. They opened for Question Mark and the Mysterians.
Wow.
Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. And some group called the Four Seasons closed.
How about that?
That's amazing, yeah.
Those old
1967 in January.
Those old cavalcade shows.
The Jersey Boys.
The Jersey Boys, exactly.
Exactly. So exactly. Enjoyed your music all these years, and especially that that concert. That was my first concert.
All right. Art, thank you for the call. You know, my favorite, I've seen so many of your concerts, but I've told you guys this story a million times, that as a young DJ, my first gig introducing a rock and roll band at a concert was you guys at Chicago Fest. Chicago Fest.
Yeah.
I want to say late
70s. We've known each other a long time.
We have known each other too long. That's right. Lee, congratulations to you. So happy. Say hi to all the guys for me. And we look forward seeing you when you come to town. Have a very Merry Christmas. Love to you and your family.
Same to you.
Hello. It's old Uncle Dean filling in for Rokan today on WGN. Me from the Sunday morning show here on WGN, Sunday morning from 9 to 1. A little show we call the WGN TV Morning News. happy to be here with you today. Be here today and tomorrow as well, right before our special holiday programming, which leads me into this Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's become a holiday classic over the last 25 years. For the first time in 25 years, it hit the number one spot on the Billboard charts. That's kind of a big deal for Mariah Carey. She recently went back into the studio and they cut this fancy new video that looks pretty cool. But I ran across this story this morning when I was reporting this on the TV morning news today. I ran across a little story that I'd never heard before, that there is a farmer in the UK who plays this song, the Mariah Carey song, on an endless loop. And he claims that his goats produce more milk while listening to the Mariah Carey song over and over and over again. There's really no punchline to the story. I just think that that's a very interesting little fun fact. This is something tomorrow night when you're talking with your relatives who you don't want to be with on Christmas Eve. At some point, you know, a lull in the conversation right before a big argument starts, you drop in a little fun fact like this. By the way, Uncle Harvey, did you know that there's a British farmer who says that goats produce more milk while listening to this Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas Is You? It'll brighten up your Christmas Eve. I guarantee it. I also ran across a story. I know a lot of you are going to be doing holiday traveling over the next couple of days, so this may ring true for a lot of you, literally ring true for a lot of you. You probably see people on telephones all the time, right? On planes, certainly on the runways, when you're supposed to be turning your phones off. I see people all the time still on their phones, having conversations, texting, doing all the things they tell you don't do. But I was reading a story today that said that cell phone in-flight cell phone calls could be right around the corner, that the technology is there. On some flights, if you're willing to pay enough for satellite service, because that's really what it involves, you can already do cell phone voice calls. You can already get Wi-Fi on planes. That's not a big deal. But they're saying that having regular cell phone service on planes is right around the corner. The Atmospheric Research Group, which is a travel industry analysis firm, says the only thing holding this back is they want to see a overwhelming demand from customers before the airlines provide this service, because there would be a certain amount of infrastructure cost to, you know, put whatever equipment is needed in order for you to actually make cell phone calls from the airplanes. So here's my question to you. I want to open up the phone lines and talk to some of you about this. How would you feel about everybody on your plane being on the phone, you know, and having conversations? People, it's a rather amazing to me when wherever you are, in a store, walking down the street, you name it, when somebody's on their cell phone, how loudly they talk, how they feel like they have to scream conversations. You know, you don't really need to do that with your cell phone. I don't know if you know that or not. You can just use your regular tone of voice and they can hear you just fine. But for some people, for some reason, people feel like they need to scream. How do you all fall about, is there really demand for this? Would you like to see there be regular cell phone service on planes? 312-981-7200. I'm going to vote, and I'm on planes all the time. I'm going to vote yes. I don't think it would bother me that much. There are at least 10 other things I can think of going around me when I'm on a plane that would bother me more than somebody on the telephone talking to somebody, if they're talking in a reasonably toned voice. But would I rather have somebody talking on the phone or taking their shoes and socks off next to me? There is no comparison about that. I think I would be okay with cell phone calls. How about you? 312-981-7200. Oh, dear lady, I know that heart rock and cold. you grew up in Chicago, you know this is the holiday vignette, Hard Rock Coco and Joe. It's part of our Bozo, Gar, and Ray special that'll be on tomorrow night, Christmas Eve at 10 p.m. Hard Rock Coco and Joe is featured. Susie Snowflake, dressed in her snow white gown. Frosty the Snowman, and of course, the story of Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner, and Garfield, Goose, and Friends. Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics. It's Christmas Eve at 10 o'clock, right before Midnight Mass on WGN. It's 520, talking, would you like cell phones on airplanes? They say that it could be coming if there is demand for it. Karen, where are you calling in from tonight?
How about if I just say home?
Home is okay.
Because I think I'm going to be in trouble.
Karen is in a secret location.
I think you are opening a can of worms if you want people to be talking on the phone. First of all, I think they did that. They asked that same question several years ago, and I think the majority of people said no, because they didn't. And my thought is, as soon as you mentioned you thought it would be a good idea, it's better than somebody taking off their shoes and rubbing their feet on the floor or whatever.
Yes.
I think the more comfortable people are on a plane, the more that's going to happen. You're going to have people doing, now that they're comfortable, it's like they're sitting in their own living room.
Oh, so
and they're doing.
If they're on their phone, the clothes will start peeling off?
Or, they start, I don't know, picking their ears. I don't know. But here's the thing.
Picking their ears.
I have taken to when there is someone in the. So the last time I did this was just a couple of weeks ago at my dermatologist's office. The whole room was filled with a bunch of people. Everybody was quiet. They were reading. They were texting. They were doing whatever. And one gentleman takes a phone call and starts talking and just talking about his business and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
This, that, and the other thing. And then it got to the point where everybody was, like, looking at him, like, take the call out in the hall, something. So I started chiming in. Like, if he would ask the question to the other person on the phone.
Oh, you would start answering.
Say, well, I did. And I've done that before in grocery stores, or even if they're talking about, what to feed the little kid for dinner, should I get him pizza or should I get him, something
right.
healthy? I'll say, well, I think you should stick with, and people look at me like I'm nuts, but a lot of times, like in the dermatologist's office, they were laughing, and, he finally took it outside. So I think, if I'm sitting next to somebody that's talking on the plane, you can be sure I'm chiming in with my thoughts.
What's the difference between somebody talking on their phone, though, or talking to a person sitting next to them?
I would rather have somebody talking to me.
You would rather the person talk directly to you, you mean?
Yeah, wouldn't it be more fun to have a conversation with somebody new?
Well, it sounds like you don't really wait for someone to talk to you. It sounds like you get in the conversation.
Yeah,
no, but I mean, my point is, I hear what you're saying, somebody's on the phone and they're talking, but what's the difference between them talking to someone on the phone and talking to somebody who, you or anyone else? What's the difference? The voices are still generating sound.
You're right, but you also said that people talk louder when they're on their cell phone,
which is true. That's true.
And like I said, especially if they're going to be on the phone for more than 10 minutes and you get an idea that they're talking to their girlfriend or their grandma or whoever they're talking to, I'm able to chime in with either funny answers or good answers, and they either laugh along with me or they get quiet.
I love it.
But yeah, I can't imagine, especially for a couple hours, I'd rather talk to the person
I think that's
next to me and meet somebody new.
I think that's hilarious. Karen, happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hi, Bruce. You're on WGN.
Good evening, Dean. How are you? Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
So my employer, we have VoIP phones at work, like most companies do. And I had to travel down to Mexico a few weeks ago. And before I left, I did call forwarding on my work phone. And so I got on the plane, and we're flying up at 35,000 feet. And I had decided to pop for Wi-Fi calling. on the plane, or I'm sorry, Wi-Fi, you know, internet
right.
on it, and I had Wi-Fi calling enabled on my phone like I always do, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from a person at work. I was totally dumbfounded.
I've never seen that. As much as I'm in planes, I don't think I've ever seen anyone get a call.
I couldn't believe it. But to your point, I think as long as people are respectful, you know, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I think it's tone of voice. You know, if I was talking to you on a phone and on the plane, I'm going to talk more like this. You can hear me. You know, you would be able to hear me on your phone. And there's no need to say, hey, guess what? I went and got a boil lanced today. You know, you don't have to.
I was just talking to my friend about it the other day because he talks loud in his truck, and it's funny with like the prevalence of AirPods, that type of thing now, and that's something I specifically talked to him about. You talk in such a normal voice when you have something like AirPods or Android equivalents on. It's a big difference.
Yeah, big difference. Merry Christmas to you, Bruce. Yeah, thank you.
You too.
Appreciate it. Some of the text lines. Here's the 847 area code. Dean, are you nuts? I think that's a whole different issue, but be that as it may. Dean, are you nuts? Have you ever been in public listening to someone on their phone talking about extremely personal issues? Imagine that on a four-hour flight to L.A. Here is another one, also from the 847 area code. Dean, what is wrong with you? I am very popular in the 847 area code tonight. People are ignorant. They will make calls. They will be loud. Get over the barefoot thing. They're the same people that'll be hollering into their phones. I'm sorry, I will never get over the barefoot thing. There is nothing that grosses me out more than someone takes their shoes and socks off, and then they kind of cross their legs. So their foot is practically in your face. I'm sorry, I will never get over that. Here is another 847 area code. Dean, in all caps, no! No cell phone service on planes. People are loud and horrible talking take place on the airplanes. I don't want to listen to it. You can't get away with rude talkers. You can't get away from rude talkers when you're on the plane. Andy, how about you? What do you think about all this?
Oh, is that me? Am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, you pretty much answered my, you know, what I was going to say. It's like the volume of it. You know, people, you know, phones are used in business and personal or whatever, but it's the volume that people talk on the phones that's really annoying in any public place, including an airplane, you know? And that's really all I had to say. Otherwise, you know, some people use it for business, some people use it for personal. If you keep the volume down,
yeah,
like you said, at a decent level, you know, it's perfectly fine.
In that sense, you know, I'll go back to my comparison. What's the difference between talking to somebody on the phone and talking to somebody who is sitting next to you? Again, you're going to use a polite tone of voice with a person who's sitting next to you. You know, if you're not shouting, I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, neither do I, and I agree with you, because if you're talking to the person next to you, you're talking in a genuine tone. For some reason, people get on a cell phone, and it's all sudden
they're
like on stage.
Right, right. Exactly. Merry Christmas to you, Andy. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
In your own time, gentlemen.
Must be something big if the general's here.
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
We've got orders to cross here.
That is the German front line.
If we're not clever about this, no one will get to your brother.
I will.
So this is basically the premise of this new movie called 1917. Mark my words, when Academy Award time comes, we are going to be talking about this movie. It opens on Christmas Day. Hi, it's Dean Richards filling in for Roe tonight. And also, I'll be here tomorrow as well on 720 WGN. Great to be with you on one of the busiest movie weeks of the year. So I thought we would talk a little about movies. We had a little panel of movie critics earlier talking about some of the new movies that have just opened, like Star Wars, like Cats, the horrible musical that's out right now. like the Mr. Rogers movie that's out, this fantastic murder mystery, Knives Out, which is out right now, but also the movies that are going to be actually opening on Christmas Day. And that includes this 1917 that I'm going to talk about in a second with its director, Oscar-winning director Sam Mendes, but also Adam Sandler's new movie, Uncut Gems, which is fantastic, also opens on Christmas Day. There's a new version of The Little Women, the Louisa May Alcott adaptation of her 150-year-old novel, which I also think is pretty great. There's a new kids movie that's coming out for Christmas Day. I'm going to review in full all of them tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News. So if you want to see some of these movies, get my full reviews. I'm going to give you a little thumbnail of what I think of them right now as well, but we'll do it on TV as well tomorrow. But I wanted to spend some time talking about this movie 1917 that I just played a little something for you from. It is a story about two soldiers. They are assigned to deliver a message that an English battalion is about to walk into a German trap, and 1,600 men will be massacred if the message does not get delivered. And you follow these two guys on this near-death experience crossing the German front, trying to get the message to the battalion that is, you know, being set up. You follow them literally in a continuous nonstop journey because of the way that director Sam Mendes shot this film. Many of the scenes, you know, normally when you watch a movie, you see a scene and there's a cut and it cuts to something else, and you watch the scene and it cuts to something else and cuts to something else and cuts to something else. The way that Sam Mendes shot this film is with very long continuous scenes. Some of them are over 10 minutes long. But the way that he edited this film makes it look like it is one continuous long flow of action. So you are with these two young soldiers who are been assigned to deliver the message. You are with them on every step of this journey through the horror of World War One, through the gritty, disgusting horror that is war, and especially this particular war, which, you know, was basically a man-to-man combat. It's not the kind of high-tech wars that we fight today. These were, you know, people looking at each other in the eye and killing each other, and the horrific things that these two soldiers saw along the way, and touching things, and personal things that happened to these two soldiers, but all in one continuous, flowing, long shot. Technically, it's remarkable. It's a very interesting story. It's very well acted. The two young actors that are the stars of this movie are named George MacKay, who has been in lots of movies, nothing to speak of, really, nothing super famous, and another actor by the name of Dean Charles Chapman. He did a couple of years on Game of Thrones. You would definitely recognize him from Game of Thrones. Benedict Cumberbatch is in the movie, very small role. Colin Firth is in the movie, very small role. But the stars of this movie are these two young actors, and the technical genius of director Sam Mendes and his crew, who explained to me how they did this, how he got the idea to make this movie in the first place, and how they achieved this technical, this marvel of shooting the movie this way. Tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News, I will be reviewing all the Christmas Day releases. Then tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics. It's our two-hour look back at the most popular children's TV shows of all time. Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner and Friends, Garfield Goose. Our two-hour special, of course, also includes Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie, Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman. That's all tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on WGN-TV, right before Midnight Mass, live from Holy Name Cathedral. One of the movies I'll be reviewing tomorrow is this amazing war movie, 1917, the World War One drama. I cannot recommend this movie enough. I loved it so much, and was thrilled to get a chance to sit down with its Oscar-winning director, Sam Mendes, who won the Academy Award for American Beauty. He was also the director of Road to Perdition, the Tom Hanks movie that was shot in and around the Chicago area. Skyfall, go down the list. Sam Mendes is quite the amazing director, but nothing tops this adventure that he takes us on in the movie 1917. He was here in Chicago last week, and we talked about it.
How did you decide to take on this subject matter in the first place? And I guess, you know, the biggest question this year is how did you decide to shoot it the way that you shot it, which is phenomenal?
Well, I'd always been fascinated in this war because my grandfather told me stories of it when I was a little boy. And he never talked about the war to his kids, and it wasn't until he was in his late 70s that he was ready to talk about it. And for some reason, he chose to tell it to his grandchildren. And so it lodged in my memory. I didn't know then that I was going to, you know, make movies or anything like that, but and it always felt like his story. But one particular story always haunted me, and that was this story he told about carrying a message across no man's land. It was actually in the mist in the evening, and he painted a very wonderful picture of it, and it never left me, really. And then I thought, well, what if that man just carried on with his message way over no man's land, and the journey was more epic? And that was the basis for it. And then the idea of the one shot came kind of hand in hand with the idea of it being 2 hours of real time, that there is this moment in the war when the Germans simply, they retreat to the Hindenburg line and they simply disappear. You know, overnight the enemy is gone and they don't know whether they retreated or withdrawn, and they're cut adrift in this land that they've been fighting over, which they've never seen. And it's a very varied land. It's a land of not just no man's land and the things you know from World War One movies probably, and history, which is trenches. It's also farmhouses and fields and canals and woods and orchards and rivers and burning towns at night. And so we constructed this epic journey. So the two things went hand in hand. I wanted the audience to feel part of the journey, fundamentally. I wanted them to, in a movie that resembles something more like a ticking clock thriller, to feel every second passing with the man, feel the clock winding down. I wanted to sense the distance they had to travel, feel the physical difficulty of the journey. And I just felt like an audience at a certain point will unconsciously or consciously begin to realize they can't get out of this journey. They have to go on it with the men. That whatever corner they're going to go around, they're going to have to go around it, you know, together.
Yeah.
And that was something I really wanted to, create that immediacy.
What were the physical challenges for you of shooting it this way, as if it were one continuous shot, as opposed to the way that conventionally shoot a film?
Physical challenges. I mean, the main difficulty for me on a day-to-day basis was I was so far away from the actors by the time they got to the end of the shot, they couldn't hear me. And it was often, you know, you have to walk back half a mile to start the scene again. So it's a very, very long process. And it was also tricky because I had to measure every step of the journey before we built or made anything. So you can write, they travel, we built over a mile of trenches, but we had to walk the scenes down the trenches, marking with flags when they turn left, when they turn right, when they moved, what scenes happen where. And I had to do that for every single scene beyond that. Through no man's land, you can write, they go through a quarry, down a hill, through an orchard to a farmhouse, but then you've got to measure the distances. You know, the scene in the orchard has to be the length of the dialogue, and the dialogue can't be longer than the orchard, and the orchard can't be longer than the dialogue. So you can't construct the orchard until you rehearse the scene.
The distance, but also the composition of each frame also has to match precisely.
Yeah.
Or at least have some sort of transition.
Yeah,
you're turning a corner or something.
Exactly,
right?
it's a constant dance between camera, character, and landscape, all of which are moving all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to be intimate, sometimes you want to be epic, sometimes you want to be wide, and sometimes tight, and you have to allow for that movement constantly. And then, you also have to find ways to hide the way that the shots are stitched together, or for an audience. Not to hide it so much, just to not be thinking about it. You know, you don't want an audience thinking about how you shot it. You don't want them to be taken out of the movie. You want them to be aware that something's pulling them that they can't stop. And I think that, you know, you become aware when you're used to cutting, as I am, used to governing rhythm in post, that you get lazy and you think, oh, I can just do that in post. I can just, you know. So it forces you to rethink and constantly analyze the relationship between camera and actor.
Yeah, it's beautiful. At the same time, it's such a big movie, you know, that's being compared to Saving Private Ryan. I wonder if you're comfortable with that comparison that's being made.
Well, it's a very different film to Saving Private Ryan. Am I comfortable with being compared to one of the greatest war movies ever made? Yes, I'm very comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm delighted and flattered. But on the other hand, it's not a combat film. You know, the first half an hour of Saving Private Ryan is visceral and shocking and, you know, one of the most extraordinary pieces of filmmaking I've ever seen. And when I first turned up to make American Beauty, it was for DreamWorks. And I turned up in LA to make the movie. And the first thing that happened to me was I got invited to the premiere of a new movie called Saving Private Ryan. I'm like, wow, that looks interesting. It's Spielberg's new film.
Wow.
And after half an hour, my jaw was on the floor. So to be compared to that is no bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's not a combat film, this. There's not a lot of bloodshed. It operates more like a ticking clock thriller than it does a conventional war movie, if such a thing exists.
I think it's probably the intimacy of such a big movie being so intimate and personal at the same time. Some of my best memories of doing interviews and red carpets are here in Chicago with you and Tom Hanks. With Road to Perdition, and I remember the American Beauty journey that we sort of all went on at the same time. What are your Chicago memories of not only the press journey of all of that, but actually filming here? I remember when streets were closed down and all that was going on for Perdition.
Yeah, I mean, I my memories are all, movie memories, really, and I very, very happy time here. You know, I do feel Chicago is a character in Road to Perdition, and I really, fell in love with the city, and not just the city, but all the small towns, many of the small towns in around it. You know, and that sense that there was this mythic landscape that surrounds you here, and this Oz rising up out of that landscape, which is Chicago. And I try to kind of get that into the movie. So I've almost unbroken happy memories, even though it was bloody cold.
And you've come back when it's also bloody cold.
I know, yeah.
We're going to blame you for all of that.
Okay.
Well, he should be here today, because it certainly is not bloody cold around here today. That was about a week and a half, a couple of weeks ago, something like that. Sam Mendes was in town with the two stars of the movie, George MacKay and Dean Charles Chapman, who are also great in it. And we had some lovely conversations. We'll share those. Normally we do our A-list celebrity interviews on my Sunday show. So if you're into something like that, then I hope you'll tune in on Sunday. We share them on our WGN-TV morning news. But because this is such a movie-centric week for so many people, made sense to do it here tonight. The movie is called 1917. I will review it tomorrow morning on TV. I'll give you a full review on that here tomorrow afternoon as well. I'll be back filling in for Roe again, where we've got some special Christmas Eve things planned for you tomorrow night. So I hope you'll tune in for all of that and more. Hey everybody, 6:09 is the time. This is Dean Richards in for Roe tonight and tomorrow here on 720 WGN. Nice to have you here with us, spending your holidays. We've got a fun little Christmas Eve show planned, some little traditional things that we have played and used through the years here on Christmas Eve. I went back and checked. Whoever the afternoon host has been here on WGN, whether it's been, Spike or, go down the list, usually they take Christmas Eve off, because they're big shots. They're radio big shots. So, they get the day off and Uncle Dean fills in. And it's become a little bit of a tradition for me to be here on Christmas Eve. And I'm looking forward to sharing some of the things that we've done, having some fun with you and kind of getting you, set for the holidays, whatever it is that you may be doing for Christmas Eve or for Hanukkah that's going on right now, everybody celebrating.
So we'll have some fun with that. If you are just getting out of work and you didn't hear the early part of the show today, we had some pretty cool things. Panel of movie critics, Pam Powell and Chuck Koplinski from Real Talk with Chuck and Pam. Two colleagues that I respect quite a bit, talking about all the new movies that are opening for Christmas Day, the ones that are out right now. That'll be we're going to podcast all of that. We'll put all of that up on the web so you can check it out at your leisure. We also had a great chat with Lee Loughnane, one of the original members of the group Chicago. They are being inducted into the Grammys Recording Hall of Fame. This is a huge honor for these guys, you know, these former DePaul University students. They just wanted to play music, and all these years later have churned out amazing albums, amazing songs. They have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, into the Grammy Hall of Fame, and now this special honor for them. Had a great conversation with Lee Loughnane. We'll put that up on the old podcast so you can check that out. Coming up a little bit later on as well. Also, in our last half hour, great conversation with Oscar-winning director Sam Mendes, the director of the movie 1917 that is opening on Christmas Day. It's one of the movies that I'll be reviewing for you tomorrow, both on television in the morning and then here in the afternoon. I'll tell you much more, not only about 1917, but about Adam Sandler's amazing new movie, Uncut Gems. If you think you know Adam Sandler from Happy Gilmore and, you know, some of his silly comedies, you do not know Adam Sandler. He turns in a performance in this movie that is 10 levels above anything you've ever seen him do. And that includes Punch Drunk Love. If you remember, is that about 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, maybe? It was really his first hand at a dramatic role in which he was amazing. This one's even greater than that, this Uncut Gems. I'll tell you much more about that movie. Tomorrow there's a new version of Little Women coming out on Christmas Day as well. We'll give you the review on that. So we've got some movie talk. You can check out the podcasts of what we did earlier today, or you know, if you're around tomorrow, give you the full reviews on that. Somebody had texted in. I kind of love when I'm, because on Sunday morning, pretty much all we talk about is entertainment. But I sort of love that people just ask me entertainment questions all the time. Really, this kind of goes on no matter where I go. I'm at the grocery store and, you know, somebody stops me and they want movie advice when I'm at the grocery store. I'm at the cleaners. Wherever I go, people stop and they want to talk about movies all the time, which I think is kind of fun. But I love when I'm filling in on somebody else's show here and people are actually texting in questions about, you know, they want to do things with their families entertainment-wise over the holiday period and asking me questions about Beauty and the Beast out at the Paramount, which I have said is, I think, one of the best productions they've ever done out there. Highly, highly, highly recommend Beauty and the Beast out at the Paramount. Mary Poppins is at Drury Lane right now if you want to, you know, get some family fun in. Mean Girls is downtown at the new Niederlander Theater. Used to be called the Oriental Theater here downtown. But somebody specifically asked about the show Potted Potter, because we had the two actors who do Potted Potter on my Sunday show this past week. They're two comedian actors, improv actors, who have condensed all of the Harry Potter books into a two-man, 70-minute show. And somebody said, is it worth seeing? And it is worth seeing. It's really fun. It's funny. If you're a Harry Potter fan, I cannot recommend that show enough to you. So actually, tomorrow, you know what? Let's replay that, because some of you are going to be looking for things to do over the Christmas break. Maybe you're interested in Potted Potter. So tomorrow on the show, we'll replay that interview with the two actors from that show. And if you ever have questions about entertainment, about things going on, what recommendations, what I thought of something or other, feel free to, you can drop a text here when I'm on the air at 312-981-7200. You can reach me on Twitter, at Dean Richards. On Facebook, it's at Dean Richards WGN. And also on the Insta, It's WGN Dean. So you can reach me in lots of ways. Be polite. That's all I ask on social media. Because, you know, I'm from the South Side, and you may get an earful of something you don't want to hear from me if you're not 614. I'm warning you. You know, Jordan, that seems reasonable, doesn't it?
I think so.
You warn somebody. You know, if you're rude to me, I'm from the South Side. That's all I'm saying.
But, I mean, most people are just so delightful on social media in general.
Always.
So, yeah.
So filled with love, for courtesy, and the milk of human kindness.
Just a big love fest.
Yeah. Again, let me remind you, I'm from the South Side. It's Dean Richards in for Rokan. WGN, and what a treat for me to be able to talk to who I consider to be one of the greatest play-by-play men in any sport. The great John Weideman handles Chicago Blackhawks hockey here on WGN. John, Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Dean, right back at you, and thank you for those kind words. Where do you got to give me the address of WGN so I can send you the $20 for talking me up like
oh,
that.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I raised my price on that.
Okay, is it 30 now?
Or? Yeah, I'm up to 30. I'm up to 30 for cheap compliments. No, you are, I mean, what you do and how you are able to, you know, keep track of all the fast-paced action that's going on simply dazzles me every time I listen to a broadcast. It's absolutely amazing. And you are obviously getting ready for the game tonight with the New Jersey Devils. What are you looking forward to happening tonight?
Well, first of all, if I may, for the listeners that may be in their cars driving to or from home or from work, I don't know where you are, but I'll start by saying please drive safely wherever you're going. I don't ever like to hear about anybody getting hurt or injured or worse in a car accident, but the scene here at the United Center is really festive. You know, they got the new scoreboard.
Yeah.
It's an enormous thing anyway, and it's unmistakable. Like from our booth up here above section 318, I look out and it's like the first thing I see. It's like being in your downtown, like in your basement, and having a big screen TV on the wall that's so big it covers the whole wall.
That's
and
too,
it's just
too big
glaring
for the room. Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and on the scoreboard, it reads, of course, the Blackhawk logo on both ends, but it's got Happy Holidays in red with the green mistletoe, and it's really neat. The city of Chicago, the skyline is rolling through, and everybody here is in a great mood, and hopefully they're going to leave this building in a great mood because the Blackhawks are playing the New Jersey Devils tonight. And this is a team that just made a major trade, one of the biggest trades in their franchise history, trading away a guy named Taylor Hall to the Arizona Coyotes. Well, what that did was that enabled a lot of these kids that are playing for the Devils to step up, get more ice, and assume leadership roles. And since Hall's departure, the record wouldn't indicate it, but this Devils team has been playing with a lot of tenacity and a lot of energy. So this is going to be, I believe, an exciting contest tonight for the fans. So anybody coming down, please drive safely. Get down here, and we'll see you, and hopefully you're going to see a great hockey game. I think you will.
I gotta say, I'm digging the music behind you right now.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Frank Pellico's up there pounding the keys in the organ, and just gets you in the right mindset.
Fantastic. I was going to say, anybody in they're tired after a long day, maybe Christmas shopping, whatever. How are you not in a good mood having that music playing in the background?
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't do any of the shopping. My wife handled all of that, so you have to ask her. But I caught an easy break. All I had to do was some holiday cards.
And, yeah.
Anyway, it's good to be here.
Hey, John, Mark Harmon, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, all that. Good to
and
talk to you.
And to you, Mark. Happy holidays to you, sir.
Night to remember for John Quenneville making his debut in a Blackhawks sweater tonight. It's the cousin of Joel Quenneville. What are we going to expect from young John?
Well, John, of course, you mentioned, I heard you coming in, I was listening, and I heard you talk about how he was acquired by the Blackhawks in exchange for John Hayden, who's going to wear number 15 for the Devils here tonight. So for both guys, it's their first time playing against one another for the teams that they were traded by. So it's a little unique. And John Quenneville's from Edmonton, okay? So he's going to bring that Western attitude, I think, swagger, to the Blackhawks. I think his role tonight is not going to be real complicated. It's going to be up and down, you know, check at every opportunity. You're going to see him bang a few people, I think. And I think because he's going to want to stay at the NHL level, he's going to try and make some kind of an impression. One thing John can do, and I hate to talk about fighting during the holiday season, but it is the sport of hockey. You may see him drop the mitts with an old teammate. It's entirely possible. You might see that out of John Hayden. But I think Quenneville is the kind of player that he brings a physical style, and he has a checking mentality. He can supply offense. He can score goals, but he doesn't get the opportunity as much. He gets third and fourth line minutes, and that isn't a ton. But, you know, what he brings to the Blackhawks lineup will be energy for sure, and that's something that we've seen here in the last couple of games. It's been notable, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
We're coming at the end of the decade here, team. So we got lists coming out. The Hockey News, top 10 best NHL players of the decade. They've got Patrick Kane third, Jonathan Toews fourth, Duncan Keith ninth. Now ESPN's got their top 100. Kane ninth, Keith 10th, Toews 15th, and Corey Crawford comes in at 78th. I'm asking you, John Weideman, do you put Keith in front of Toews or Toews in front of Keith? The pressure is on.
Well, at this point, I would put Toews in front of Duncan Keith, and it's because of his offensive contributions. But it's a great argument because Duncan Keith is a two-time Norris Trophy winning defenseman. He is a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. They're both Conn Smythe Trophy winners, Toews in 2010, Keith in 2015. But, you know, as far as what they mean to their respective teams is concerned, that's a real tough question mark. It's a great one. But I'm going to side with the captain, Jonathan Toews, because without him, I don't think that the leadership in the dressing room would be the same. That's number one. Number two, he contributes offensively. He makes every line that he plays on go. And let's face it, if Jonathan Toews wasn't playing with the Blackhawks team faceoff win percentage might be below 40%. He has that much of an effect on this team.
Yeah.
I think this may be a WGN radio first of sports talk. The great John Weideman talking while a Tinkle Bell version of Babes in Toyland is going on in the back. It could only be better if there was ballet dancing also going on at the same time. That's fantastic. You know what I was wondering, John, is about this young Mr.
Kirby Doc?
The cousin of Coach Q. Why am I forgetting his name now?
John Quenneville.
John Quenneville.
Yeah.
What kind of pressure is there on John Quenneville just having that name?
That's a great question, Dean. I mean, knowing that the Quenneville name around Chicago hockey circles, you know, might be the top name on the list when you consider who's been here, but, you know, then you got to throw in, of course, Stan Mikita and Bobby Hull. You can never discount their contributions to this city and this organization. But Q is right up there. And, I mean, as far as coaches are concerned, he fits with Mike Ditka, you know.
Sure.
The Bulls head coach, it escapes me right now, that won six titles.
Yeah, Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson, thank you very much.
Yeah.
North and South Side baseball teams, I'm sure they had managers of note, but when you think about Joel Quenneville, you think Stanley Cup championships and the Blackhawks' all-time winningest head coach. And, you know, we wish him well. He's down in Florida now doing a great job. But for John Quenneville to put on a Blackhawks sweater and go out and play in his first NHL game, he's going to be nervous anyway because first NHL game with the Blackhawks. Let me correct myself, because he played some with New Jersey. But in this environment to make his debut, yeah, he's going to have some butterflies. But typically with hockey players, Dean, they get their first shift under their belt. They get to the bench and they go, okay, now I'm feeling okay.
Yeah, now it's past them. Yeah, it's past them and they can get down to business.
Mm-hmm. Are either of you two superstitious?
I am.
Yes, I am too.
If the Hawks win tonight, they'll be 16-16-6.
Uh-oh.
And that would be right, 6-6-6, and they would be getting a win over the Devils. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
But there's something there, right?
Wow.
Well, Mark, if they were going to be 6-6-6, I'd be right in there with you. But, I don't know, 16 kind of negates that. But I will share one thing with the listeners. When you hear me take a break and I say that 6:47 is gone from the period, that means that I'm not going to say that on the clock it says 13-13. Triskaidekaphobia.
All I know is I want to wear some garlic around my neck right now because of all this talk.
Hey, Dean, one thing I want to mention. I heard you coming in. I'm dying to see that movie now. The 1917.
John, you'll enjoy it so much.
Oh, I mean, of all the war movies that I've seen in my life, and I go back to, Dean, and you'll know this, The Sands of Iwo Jima.
Sure.
You know, some of the great, the Dirty Dozen. Yep. Devil's Brigade, you know, Stalag 16, all of those. My dad was in the World War II, and, you know, I've asked him at times when he was still alive, you know, does this look real? And sometimes Dad would look at me and he'd give me that look like, you really don't know. This is Hollywood. This, you know,
right.
But it did give you an idea of the sacrifices that were made by our men and women in uniform. And
yeah.
So,
well, Saving Private Ryan, I talked to so many veterans that said that was what war was like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I you know, there aren't too many World War I veterans still around, but the realism in this, but the personal story is what this is about, and that the technical marvel of the way this movie was shot with one continuous flow is amazing. I hope you enjoy it. John, we're going to enjoy listening to you tonight. Chicago Blackhawks hockey is coming up at 7 o'clock as the Blackhawks take on the New Jersey Devils. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family, John. It's always great to talk to you.
Dean, the pleasure is always mine. And Carm, take care. Keep up the great work. And happy holidays to all.
Be great, John.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night.
651, Dean Richards.
So we brought our hands
in for row. So much fun today. Looking forward to being here again with you tomorrow afternoon.
This is
the countdown Christmas Eve and the arrival of Santa in Chicago. 312-981-7200, worst movies of all time. Right at the moment, the movie Cats is just getting raked over the coals by all the critics. By some of the ones that I can't stand through the years. There was a Madonna movie a few years ago called Swept Away. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. There was... I'm trying to think now of some of the other... Showgirls. Showgirls is, a famous one of the worst movies of all time. Glitter was one of the worst movies of all time. Remember Halle Berry's Catwoman? I love Halle Berry. She's a sweetheart. But, man, that was a terrible movie. 312-981-7200. And this is Aggie from Chicago. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi.
Hi, Aggie.
Hi. The worst movie I think I ever seen was Tommy.
Tommy the Rock Opera?
Yes. It was like around 75, I think.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely in the 70s. Yeah, you know, those rock operas, especially back then, not for everyone. That's for sure.
Well, it was right after I got married. We went with this other couple, and I had no idea what we were going to. And it was like, I remember my husband looked at me and said, "What was that?"
Right. Yeah. Sometimes if you don't know. Right?
I don't know.
Right. Now, you've heard of the movie Rocky Horror Picture Show, right?
Yes.
And, you know, a friend of mine took me to see, when it first came out, to see Rocky Horror Picture Show. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know that it was, you know, spoofy, and I didn't know about people participating and, throwing toilet paper and, like, all the audience participation. I went into this thinking I was going to see a serious movie and walked into that. I was like, what in the heck is going on here? I hated it when I first saw it. I've seen it many times since then and, you know, have appreciated it for what it is.
Yeah.
Aggie, have a Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. This is Johnny. You are on WGN. Hello.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, so one of the worst movies I've ever seen was Waterworld with Kevin Costner.
Oh,
garbage.
That was horrible. Multi-million-dollar horrible.
Yes, it was bad.
I don't remember the amount of money that they spent on that movie, but I remember it was through the roof, and it came back and it was a train wreck.
I agree. It had to be a lot of money.
Yeah, Kevin Costner turned out some of the greatest movies ever. Turns out some of the biggest pieces of crap ever at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Johnny, have a great holiday. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Stevie, you're on WGN.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, bud. So what's your worst?
Oh, yeah, okay. So I think the only movie I ever remember walking out on in my life years ago was The Three Amigos.
Really?
That was just awful. Yeah, I thought it was terrible. Really? Maybe I should give it another chance. It's been many years, and those guys are all funny, you know?
Yeah, well, there are, you know, I guess I would have to go back and watch the movie. I remember seeing it when it came out, and I don't remember hating it. And, of course, all I remember now is the famous scene where they do, you know, the crossing of their chest, you know, slapping of their chests, and, you know, that's we are the Three Amigos, you know, that scene.
Right, yeah, maybe I should give it another chance, to be fair, but it did walk out 30 years ago or whenever that came out.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, not everything is not for everyone.
That is true.
Somebody texted in the movie La La Land. Did you see that when it came out?
I did, yeah.
And I loved it. I don't know how you felt about it, but I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
you know.
Somebody on our text line says, worst movie of all time. Something for everyone.
There you go.
Something for everyone.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Stevie. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for listening today. Really appreciate it. Had a great time filling in for Rokan today, and we'll do it again tomorrow, a little bit earlier than usual. We'll go from 2 until 6, and then we'll start our special WGN holiday programming at 6 p.m., but we've got some really special things planned for you tomorrow evening, 2 to 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve. And then, of course, on the WGN TV morning news tomorrow, I will be reviewing all the Christmas Day releases. And tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, it's the Chicago tradition of playing Bozo, Gar, and Ray. WGN TV Classics, our two-hour look back at three of the most popular children's TV shows of all time, Bozo Circus, Ray Rayner and Friends, and Garfield Goose, including Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman, some fantastic Chicago memories tomorrow, Christmas Eve.